Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president. Join Steve and Justin online for our How to Prosper in a Year of Change 2017. It's our live wealth webinar set for December 7th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. The economic changes may be dramatic. With a new president in the White House, likely higher interest rates, how will you respond? Join Steve and Justin for an hour-long discussion with some specific recommendations and time for questions and answers, too, on this live webinar. It is free, but you do need to register online. Attendance is limited. Just go to investtalk.com. Now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. It is November 22nd, 2016. And of course, this is Invest Talk, where we talk about above average investing for the average investor. Now, if you have a specific retirement goal, of course, you're more likely to achieve them if you do above average. I'm here to promote setting goals and formulating a plan to reach those goals. And naturally, you can count on life to throw you some curveballs. You know that, right? So the secret to success is to be ready for those curveballs, be able to adjust for them. Everybody I know has something happen in their life that really threw them off their retirement, whatever goals they had, just threw them off. Got laid off, had a death in the family, something, a sickness that it costs a lot of money. There's always something, and you got to be ready for that. Now, today we're going to talk about a little bit about value investing. Value investing. This is going to be part of, or a very important part of, our webinar that we have coming up next month. Searching for value as the core of the strategy, of a strategy, it can be very successful in the long term. Value investing has been kind of out of favor. Warren Buffett, Benjamin Graham, David Dodd, all value investors. We're also going to talk about passive versus active investing. We'll examine the case for each of those, okay? Now, we'll be looking ahead at the coming year and the increasing number of indicators that we're getting closer to an interest rate hike. Almost everybody's fairly convinced that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates in December. Because Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve president, keeps saying that she's getting closer and closer convinced to raise the rates. And she's been saying that all year. So they only have one more meeting this year, and that's in December. So most people are convinced that that's when she's going to do it. Now, she's only going to raise her rate a quarter point, so don't get too excited about it. It's only going to be a quarter point, and most of that is probably built into the market already. So what is going to be the result from her raising rates? We've already seen interest rates, mortgage rates go up. They're above 4% for a 30-year fix now. They were at 3.5% before President-elect Trump got voted into the office. Now they're a little over 4%. So rates have already come in. That may not be because of him being president. Maybe because everybody's expecting the rate increase by the Fed. Maybe that's why. So anyways, don't be thinking that you can't make money with interest rates rising. Of course you can. In the stock market, of course you can. You can even do it conservatively. You could always buy the ETFs or the inflation protected bonds. You can buy ETFs that have floating interest rates, bond funds. There's ways you can do it conservatively with those things. So don't think you can't make money. You can't. And, of course, the market, banks are going to do very well with higher interest rates. The problem is not just higher interest rates. It's how fast and how high. If it's fast in a very short period of time, then there's going to be big problems. And that's true for most things in the investment world. If it's faster than corporations or the public, investing public, can adjust for, then the market has problems. And it's only a matter of time before rates start to go up. They have to go up, and they're too cheap. You just have to be aware. They're going to happen anyway, sooner or later. So just be prepared for it. That's all. Now, do you have questions about the impact of higher interest rates? Now, let's begin the Q&A portion of the program. As always, we can talk about any money question you have. Let's go to our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve. My name is Cynthia. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, you mentioned something about the Costco 3 Kirtland signature brand that is outstanding. I understand the first was the extra virgin oil, and the second was the bacon. I didn't quite hear what the third one. If you have a chance, can you elaborate more about these 3 brands? Thank you. Bye-bye.
One was tequila, the extra special brand tequila, the extra virgin oil, and you're trusting my memory. I don't remember exactly. Since I didn't use any of those items, I don't drink tequila, and I don't. But I do know people. People think the Kirkland brand is kind of a low end brand. Well, it's low price, but I don't know if I can say low end. I really don't. As a general statement. But, no, I don't remember all those things off the top of my head. I am sorry. I just don't. 888-99-CHART. I did get a question, by the way, via the email. And the question was about Nestle. Nestle, symbol NSRGY. And it was not a question about whether to buy or sell Nestle. The person wanted to know why Nestle, a huge corporation, is not listed on our New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. Why isn't it listed on the American exchanges? You cannot buy Nestle stock on American exchanges. It's listed on the foreign exchanges, but not here. Why? Well, that's because any foreign company has to decide whether they want to be on our exchange. It's up to them. And what they do is they have to find a sponsor, a bank, to sponsor them. They have to file their tax returns under GAAP, General Accounting Principle, procedures. They have to then deposit a bunch of shares with the bank, and then the bank packages them as ADRs, American Depository Receipts, and then they are traded on our exchanges. It's not impossible. It's very easy to, it's not just easy, but it's fairly easy to do. But Nestle decided not to do it. That's all. So if you want to buy Nestle, you got to go to a foreign market, go to the foreign desk at your stock exchange, stockbroker account. Go to the foreign desk and say, I want to buy it. They'll buy it for you. It'll cost you a lot more in trading costs, though. Passive versus active investing. That's one of our main talking points today. I also want to discuss a number of things. How about the headaches of a fast rising dollar? Not a slow rising dollar, but the dollar rising fast. It is pretty much spiked up pretty fast right now. So what are the headaches of that for everybody? And I also want to talk about what the elections mean for the emerging markets. I briefly touched on this several times, but I want to get a little bit more specific. Well, for instance, if the Federal Reserve is hawkish, what does that do? What if the Federal Reserve is dovish? Do you know what I mean by hawkish and dovish? Hawkish is they raise rates. Dovish means they're much less interested in raising rates, very slow. And then on the other side of the equation, what happens with trade policy by the new president? So if the Federal Reserve is hawkish and the trade policy is benign or protectionist, what? What does that do to emerging markets? I want to discuss that. And you're going to have to follow along because it's not a simple thing, but you can follow along. I have utmost faith in you. And finally, how couples sabotage their own retirement. Several things they do to do that. How? We're going to discuss that. Those are the things that are going to be on my mind and we're going to talk about unless you call and you ask questions. Then we'll discuss whatever you want to talk about. The market was up again. Dow was up 67. The NASDAQ up 17. And the S&P 500 up 5. It took 480 days for the Dow to go from 18,000 to 19,000. 480 days, year and a half, to go up 1,000 points. That tells you the market just is not that strong, okay? And I'll tell you this. As we sit right now, the market is overvalued. Remember, we've had 6 quarters in a row where corporate earnings have gone down. The S&P 500, every quarter, the corporate earnings gone down. But the stocks haven't. They've gone up. They've gone up without earnings. earnings are falling, stock price is going up, that makes them more and more and more overpriced. How far can they be overpriced? Well, we don't know that, do we? I can just tell you that the majority of the time when we've had a bullish phase and it got to this point, price to sales, price to earnings, cash flow, all those fundamental numbers, when we got to this point, the majority of the time, the market fell afterwards. Just to let you know.
You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you.
Steve, I had a question about insider trading. The question is, looking at stocks that have a high short ratio, is that a red flag for you as an investor?
Get your question to us right now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach Invest Talk anytime.
Hello, this is Raul from Flower Mound, Texas. Just calling to ask about Duke Energy versus Consolidated Edison. I've been looking at these two stocks. That's DUK and ED is the second stock, ED. I was just wanting to see what you guys thought about the two stocks and wanting to see what your long-term outlook were for these two. Just looking to get into this sector. Thank you.
Well, let's look at Duke first real quick. Duke Energy provides electrical and natural gas utility services, okay, kind of to 7.5 million people. They're going to make $4.67 a share this year and $4.65 a share next year, so kind of flat. $4.55 last year, so you know, nothing exciting about it, kind of just flattish. It pays a 4.6% dividend. It's a utility. Utilities usually are, you know, you usually buy them for their dividend. You like to buy them inexpensive. And so it's a $73 stock, going to make $4.65. So the P is what, around 16 or so? So if you look at that, that's for Duke. And if you look at Consolidated Edison, you know, their holding company provides electrical and gas, you know, utilities also. And they're going to make $3.96 this year, then $4.14 next year. Their PE rate or PE right now is about 18, and they pay 3.8% dividend. 3.8. So if you're looking at a utility for the dividend, and you're looking for it to buy it at a kind of a bargain price, you probably go with Duke, not with Consolidated Edison. Now, if you look at ED, Consolidated Edison, and look at their debt, that's always interesting because one of the problems that, or one of the issues with utilities is that they have debt because they build out their grid and they borrow money. And why is that an issue? Well, because they got to borrow money and interest rates are probably going to rise. So it's going to start, the cost of that money is going to go up. But both of them are about equal in debt as far as the amount of debt they're carrying. So I'm going with Duke. Duke has the edge. I like that 4.6% dividend. And usually utilities are very stable when it comes to their dividend. They never cut it. Duke, D-U-K, over E-D. My personal choice. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Remember, we're not always talking about stocks and bonds. We can talk about anything financial. We'll talk about, how about life insurance? How about health insurance? Have you got your premiums for new health insurance this year? I have. Up 21% this year for my local office. Any money questions on the table, 888-99-CHART. That's our InvestTalk 24-hour, InvestTalk 24-hour, 7 days a week listener line number.
You're listening to InvestTalk, made possible each day by KPP Financial, helping people look forward to the retirement years with confidence. And we're here to answer your money questions. Steve welcomes your call, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jim in Indiana. How you doing, Jim?
I'm great. How about yourself, Steve?
Good. I thank you for the call.
Good. Hey, I've got two stocks that I wanted to look at, and the reason is because they have very similar chart patterns mm-hmm. lately, mm-hmm. but the fundamentals are drastically different.
Okay.
So it's Steel Dynamics, and I bought in at about $33 just recently. Mm-hmm. and then I bought Berkshire Hills BHLB Bank, and I bought in at about 28. And both of them broke through their level, had broken through their levels and were headed up. And I thought this looks like a good spot for both of them. Steel Dynamics for a different reason than BHLB. But I kind of wanted to know when do I bail on these two, because they're both headed up really quickly, and that makes me nervous.
Yeah, it should make you nervous, Jim, because my experience is when they move up this fast, and let's look at Steel Dynamics just for grins first. It's a good, solid company. It's an $8.6 million market cap, pretty decent size. Manufactures flat rolled structural bar and rail steel and recycles ferrous and non-ferrous scrap metal. They're out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, why would this thing all of a sudden spike right when President-elect Trump won? It was already moving up. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they announced the stock buyback.
Yep.
Which I was happy about.
$450 million worth.
Go ahead.
That's $450 million. So that is about 5% of the outstanding. Okay. Which
and,
is good.
And I know with the infrastructure that Trump is talking about, that they're going to be.
That's
they do
right.
A lot of work with the railroads.
Yeah.
So I know that too.
So Steel Dynamics is an infrastructure play with a decent stock buyback of 5%. So there's your catalyst of why it's moved up very fast. It hasn't. Our earnings were already growing nicely, not fast, but pretty decently. And it looked like it was doing well. So you had it was growing pretty good. You have the catalyst with the infrastructure spending and catalyst with the repurchase, and the stock price spiked, okay? And it went up again today, almost 4%. So, Jim,
I know.
That's why you should be getting nervous.
You
have the right mindset, let's put it that way. Now what you're going to do is you're going to follow this up with a tight stop, because this spike, probably they're going to give some of this back at some point. But I can't tell you which point. You know, I can't say, okay, when it gets to 50, that's when I start giving back 10 points. Well, that's 40. Yeah. So you have to follow it up. It's kind of expensive with a, you know, $35 stock, a $2.14 earnings. So, you know, it's up there in the middle of its range of PE. So it's not the top range, not the lower range. So I think it still probably has room to run. Jim, so I would follow it up with a tight stop. You know what I mean by following it up? Okay. So just follow it up. And the same thing is true on the, what was the name? DHLB. Is that the symbol?
Yep.
Yeah, let me pull it up. DHLB. Yeah, the same thing is true. You just follow it up, because there's, you know, it's moving up on speculation now. I think good sound speculation. I think the thinking is correct, but it's still pricey. And don't be surprised if it gets half of that straight up move back before it settles down and starts moving up again. Okay, Jen? Appreciate the call.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You too. Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I wanted to know, at my age, I'm 30 years old, and my 401k presently, I have majority of it is very aggressive in stocks, large caps, small, mid caps, et cetera. I was wondering, with the anticipation of the coming year, 2017, would it be at all wise or practical to maybe shift a little bit of that into like a fixed income asset class, for example, or should I continue and not look back on the small and mid cap allocation?
Okay. The answer is no. You should not shift to any fixed income, because interest rates are going to rise and that's not going to work. Okay. And you're being only 30 years old, you want to stay aggressive. Now, what you can do, James, is you can migrate some of your holdings from growth stocks or growth mutual funds to value stocks or value mutual funds. Because value is likely to do better in the future than growth in the next couple of years. But stay in the market. And the reason, James, is this market could go to The Dow could go to 20,000, go to 21,000 without looking back. No one knows when the correction will be. I'm telling you right now, the market's overvalued. But it can get more extreme and more extreme. You just never know. You just never know. So you'll get out just as the market takes off. And you'll get in just as the market falls. So just staying is a smarter play. At 30 years old, you got years and years. And it's been proven over and over and over again to stay in the market over the long time because no one can time it. Okay?
Of course, yes. That's what I was thinking of staying in.
Thanks.
I just wanted to make sure I was being responsible.
You are. Choices. You're doing a great job. Yes, James. Thank you. Thanks for the call. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing. Steve and Justin encourage you to join our Invest Talk Insider program. This is a source of information in many handy forms, easy to read info sheets, recorded webinars, and even chart lessons. Everything is free. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. You're listening to Invest Talk for Tuesday, November 22nd. Socially responsible investing isn't just for stocks anymore. The same principles can be applied to corporate bonds, using bonds to save the world and make money. That's one of our talking points. Next time, 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now to Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mac of Los Cabos, Mexico. How you doing, Mac?
Very good, Steve. I was calling about FCX. I've had a pretty good run in it, and I'm thinking it might be time to cash in. Or do you think I should hold it for a while?
Actually, I think it's doing quite well. It's at a new 52-week high. It broke out 2 days ago, and it's not that expensive compared to what the earnings. See, the earnings are going to go up almost 400% next year to $1.25. That means the PE is only around 12. So
okay.
I think what I would do, Mac, is like I suggested to James, Jim earlier when he talked about the steel company. I think I'd hold it, but follow it up with a pretty tight stop. You know, if it drops, let's say right now, today, if it dropped below $14, I'd be out. If it keeps going up, it goes to $15.50, then I'd probably use, if it drops below $15, I get out. So you follow up.
It moves so much in one day, I didn't want to get stopped out. So
yeah, I know.
$15 or so.
Yeah, it's up 4% today. Yeah, so.
Right.
So you got to give it like you got to give it like 10% ish room, you know.
Yeah.
You got to give it some room, but follow it up as it rises. Keep moving your stop up, so that at least you're capturing. And I think it broke out today, and of course it's, you know, Freepak, Mac Moran, everybody, FCX. We're talking about, you know, they're engaged in mining copper, silver, you know, molybdenum mines, you know, so they're all over the place. And it's a $20 billion company. It's not small for moving that fast. I mean, it's up, Jim, Mac, it's up 50% in a month and a half.
And it wasn't too long ago, I believe I heard Justin say that, tell a caller that that they might go bankrupt and he might think about selling it. That wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, because they were losing money for 2 years in a row. But now
so
they've turned it around.
Too.
Huh?
They have so much debt, too.
They have
very.
That's your danger, is their debt load is pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. So that's why you got to follow it up with a stop. Not your thinking is right. Take your profits at some point, but we don't want to take it too early.
Very good, Steve.
Good.
Really enjoy your show. And once again, thanks.
Thanks, Mac. Appreciate it. That's FCX. I don't think they're going bankrupt. They're too big. They're a $20 billion company. You know, they're too big. They can survive a lot. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay. The headaches of a fast rising dollars. What kind of, you know, as I said earlier, it's not that the dollar is going up. It's not that interest rates are going up. It's how fast they go up. The faster they move up, the more impactful, negative impactful they'll have. So the headaches of a fast rising dollar, the headaches we'll have is mostly our big corporation, the multinationals. When they have to deal with a rising dollar, our exports are more expensive. But remember, they're multinational, so they could switch production to offshore where it's cheaper. But when they want to bring that money back to the U.S., the profits, the exchange rate is such that the profits get hit heavily. If it moves up slowly, they can adjust for it. But they can't if it moves up fast. It's too fast. They can make moves. So it's not that the dollar rising is necessarily a bad thing. As a matter of fact, there's been studies to show that if the dollar continues to rise, stock markets can go up with them. People think that if dollar goes up, stock market goes down. No. If the dollar goes up, gold tends to go down. Not always, but it tends to. It can. Because gold goes up and down based on the weakness or the strength of a dollar. Goes up and down based on a lack of or more inflation. And then gold goes up and down based on fear. Worldwide fear. Wars. That kind of thing. So the dollar itself getting stronger is not necessarily a problem. It's the speed of which it rises is a problem. But right now, don't think, you know, the dollar's rising, the stock market's rising. That's not unusual. They're usually attached. It's normal. So I don't think you should fear that. Now, we have an award-winning system that can help you determine your optimum level of risk. You know, we talk about risk. I talk about risk all the time. What kind of risk are you comfortable with? Now, the system we have first assigns you a risk number after you answer a very short series of questions, not like five questions. It's pretty short, 3 to 5 questions. And then if you like, once you have that risk number, we compare that with the market's risk, because the market has a risk number. And if you send us your portfolio, we can put your portfolio in the system and attach a risk level for that as well. You may find that your current investments are too conservative or too risky based on your risk number and your age and different factors, temperament, life situation. So give it a try. You can go to investtalk.com.
At this family time of the year, issues of financial security come to mind. And one of the ways Steve can help you refocus your retirement portfolio and give you some ideas is to spend an hour looking over your accounts and offering some suggestions. He schedules these visits with a limited number of our listeners on Skype, telephone, and in person. And he'll be at a KPP Financial satellite office in San Jose on November 29th. If you'd like to reserve your own hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Chart. Let's talk to Robert in Pleasanton. How you doing, Robert?
Hey there, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. One of my favorite. It is my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving.
Hey, I've been following Adobe Systems for a while, and I'm just curious to get your take on how you think the stock is going to do going forward.
I think it's going to do very well. Adobe Systems, everybody, headquarters in San Jose, provides designing, imaging, and publishing software for print, web, mobile, and dynamic media production, Adobe Systems. Earnings are going to go up 43% this year and then another 29% next year. It's $105 stock. Sales are growing 20% or more every quarter for the last 7 quarters. So it's been very, very steady. And that's why it's kind of expensive right now, Robert, because it's been moving up and up and up because of the pretty solid numbers, the performance it's putting in. So it's going to make $3.84 next year, so, and it's $105, so you're talking about, you know, 29 and 30 PE. See, that's not cheap. But I think it's worth it. I think the PE worth it. I do. Now, it looks like it, I mean, ideally you would want to pick this up around $98, $99, because that's where there's a lot of support and it fills a gap. But If it was me and you like this stock, Robert, I might buy half my position right where it is, 105. I mean,
yeah, I actually just picked some up today, and I have a relative that works for the company, and everything certainly seems to be pointing in the right direction.
They also have $14 per share in cash. They're a $52 billion company. It's huge. And they're growing 20%, and they're $52 billion. That's pretty impressive. So I kind of like the company. It looks good, solid company. So you have no complaints from me. Yeah, it might go down. Yeah, the market might go down too, but is it worth it? Yeah, I think it's worth it. Okay?
Right. Thanks,
Robert.
Much, Steve.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Our main talking point today, passive versus active investing. Do you know what that is, first of all? Passive means you buy index and you just put it in a drawer and never look at it. That's passive. Active means you're looking at it and you're buying and selling things when you think they are right, you know, time to do it. Passive investing works really good when the market is in a bull market phase. Everybody loves passive investing because the market goes up. Passive investing all of a sudden becomes very undesirable when the market goes sideways or down. Now, you do have a bias to the market on the upside, so passive investing can work over long periods of time, and it's proven to be one of the best ways to invest. Now, when you get older, you don't want to necessarily want to take as much risk, so now you might have to start being a little bit more active. So to be perfectly frank, it's not all one or the other. It's a combination, you know, and depends on your lifestyle, your risk tolerance, your age, your retirement goals, where you are in life. You know, you might want to be a little bit more active defensively than being just totally in the market. The earlier caller, he was 30 years old and wanted to know if he should stay invested, maybe buy some bonds. I told him no. 30 years old, you should probably stay in the market, not worry about being protection, having some protection in your portfolio. If he was 55, 60 years old, I wouldn't give him that answer. I'd give him a different answer. And it really also comes down to who you are. So don't just think of passive as great and active as bad or vice versa. It's not. It depends on you and where you are. So we have an article you can read about this. It's on our website that relates to this. But always read. I am a strong believer in reading different points of view. Different points of view. Now, our phone is always open to your questions, whether you're new to investing or have a more complex question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, guys. This is Bob from Colorado. I love your show, and I got some questions. So first question is, have you heard of Betterment and Wellsford Portfolio Managers? I heard they work on a modern portfolio theory and they automatically invest based on your contributions. What's your opinion on those? And the second question is, if I have some old stocks and I always keep buying new stocks every year, what's your recommendation? Which one I should sell, the oldest one or the newest one? From same company in order to optimize my taxes and also optimize my gains. Love your thoughts on that and love your show. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, I'll answer the last question first. It depends on if the stock has gone up or down and how much gains or losses you have, and long-term versus short-term. Long-term meaning gains over 12 months. Which is at a lower tax rate, where short-term gains are gains under 12 months. What you'd want to do is, of course, maximize your in-pocket profits. That means after-tax profits. So there's no, like, sell the old ones first or the new ones first. There's no answer like that. You can't answer it that way. It depends on your cost basis of the various positions that you've purchased. The first question, I am not a big believer in just, I'm a believer in finding out who the person is, you, and how aggressive you want to be, and design or have a portfolio that fits your particular personality, goals and risk tolerance. You know, just picking a manager and invest with him, well, does he fit what you're comfortable with? Is this what you want? What kind of manager is he? Is he a growth manager? Is he a value manager? How much bonds does he have? Does he believe that bonds are the way to go? It has to go. I like to be a little bit more attuned when you hire a manager, him being a little bit more attuned to what your goals, personal goals and desires and risk tolerance is. So you'd have to find that out. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, so how the elections are going to affect emerging markets, because there is going to be some changes made. Now, first of all, you have to think about the trade policy of the U.S. government. Is it going to be benign or is it going to be protectionist? My gut feeling right now is going to be kind of protectionist because Trump is going to try to negotiate better deals. Remember he said, talked about that? He's going to put on tariffs if he thinks that we're being treated unfairly by these foreign companies, emerging markets included. If he's benign and the Federal Reserve is hawkish, meaning the Federal Reserve is raising rates, and we know that they want to raise rates and probably will in December, so you can say that they're hawkish, and you can say that the Trump presidency will be protectionist, then that's going to be negative for emerging markets. If interest rates were benign, or we'll call it dovish, where the Federal Reserve not going to raise rates, okay, and the trade policy is benign, that would be very positive for emerging markets. If the Fed doesn't raise rates, and that means that the dollar would be soft, if it does not raise rates, the dollar will soften, and he is protectionist, the government is protectionist, that would be mixed for emerging markets. But the most likely scenario is both hawkish by the Federal Reserve, in other words, they'll raise rates, and that means the dollar might get stronger, and protectionist, that means emerging markets are not going to do well. That's what that means. So where's your belief? Do you think interest rates going up or down? Do you think Trump will be protectionist or won't be able to do that because he has a Congress who may disagree with him? Remember, Congress and the president are both Republicans. I think it's going to be protectionist.
Let's get back to Invest Talk on this Tuesday. Why just listen? Be part of the program. We're here to help you manage your money. Join in the conversation. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to VJ in Fremont. How are you doing, VJ?
I'm doing good, Steve. I have a two-part question. One is, want to know your opinion for the Bank of America. It has a nice run with the hopefully, Trump incoming. Mm-hmm. And the second part is, you said that Trump is more protectionist, but the Congress is Republican, mm-hmm. and Republicans generally are business friendly.
Correct.
Who want to be more liberal? Policies? How yeah. his protectionist policies are going to pan out?
Yeah, that's the big question, VJ. Because remember, Trump is also a businessman. He's not non-business. He understands it. So there's a tug of war going on, and I'm not sure how protectionist he's actually going to be. I think he's going to it's going to move in that direction to some degree because that's a promise he has said, but the actual effect in trade, I'm not so convinced. See, I think he might pick on people like China or Russia and say, you know, China, you're dumping aluminum and steel into our country, and therefore, you know, we're going to do this to you. I don't know if he's going to, you know, like the NAFTA and I'm just not so sure how protectionist he'll be. I think he's going to move in that direction, though, VJ, and I think he'll have the majority of Congress. But remember, in the Senate, he doesn't have the supermajority, so you can be filibustered, and he's got to convince all the Republicans to do the same thing. He may not be able to do that, as you point out. So you got a very good point there, and no one really knows yet, really. Don't know. And Bank of America.
Looks like the business as usual.
It might be.
In my opinion.
It might be, VJ. It just might be.
I feel sorry for those who voted for him.
Yeah. Because it was going to be business as usual for Hillary, too. There's not going to be any changes. So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Bank of America?
Let's talk about. I was looking at it today. Bank of America, looking at several of the larger banks, because you know that I've kind of changed my views on them since Trump got in instead of Hillary, that the big banks now look more attractive because I think they'll reduce the impact of the Dodd-Frank Act on some of these big banks. But Bank of America in particular looks pretty good to me because they have been issuing more and more loans in recent years that float, the interest rate floats. And if the Fed raises rates, it's going to benefit Bank of America more than the other banks. So I kind of like Bank of America. I will say this, VJ. It certainly has moved up very fast in a very short period of time. It may give some of this back, but I think if it does, that would be a buying opportunity.
Good to know, Tim. Thank you. Always your advice is valuable. Thank you very much.
Thank you, VJ. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, what are couples doing wrong? How are they sabotaging their retirements? And I got 3 points I want to make. Number one, they're not putting enough money away in their 401ks. There's evidence that like 25, 30% don't even put enough to get the matching funds from their employers. That's insane. Of course you get that free money. Number two, letting one partner carry the retirement load. Now, I know maybe you've had children and one of you had to stay home or, one has a much better job than the other. I understand that, but that doesn't mean you can't carry your own load by participating in retirement planning, putting money away, IRAs, 401ks, whatever. And third, see, I'm trying to go through these fast because we're running out of time. Not planning as a couple, not planning for the expenditures in retirement. What is it going to do? You're going to want to enjoy your retirement. Plan for those expenses. Plan for that big trip once a year or whatever it is you like doing. Plan for that. Have money set aside for that. That's my 3 points I just made. Our time is up for this hour. I have a new checkup date. I'll be back in San Jose for individual retirement views next week on November 29th. The day is filling up pretty fast, everybody, so if you want to meet with me, make sure you schedule a time, okay? And all you do is go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. You can give me a call either or send me an email, anything. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP Financial, want to thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.